Good evening, Boston. Welcome to BNN News. I'm Faith Amaphidon. Thanks for tuning in. Over the weekend, city officials geared up for One Boston Day, bringing solidarity and unity to the forefront as they cleaned neighborhoods and honored the victims, survivors, and first responders from the Boston Marathon bombing.
In preparation for the 128th Boston Marathon, Mayor Michelle Wu and dozens of residents joined city officials to clean up Franklin Park and remember those impacted by the tragic Boston Marathon bombing in 2013.
These are events that are happening all across the city over the course of this weekend, and it is in honor of and remembering now 11 years ago at the marathon on April 15th when those horrific acts took place and Boston came together to really show what we're made of. And so we continue to honor the memory of those we lost, to come together with survivors and all of our community members, first responders and healthcare workers, and to make sure that we keep that legacy going of a unified community who takes care of each other.
To honor the lives changed forever that day, the city has created One Boston Day to serve as a living demonstration of our strength, generosity, and resilience when we come together as one.
We're here at Franklin Park honoring One Boston Day. We're doing a neighborhood cleanup. These events are really important to showcase the fabric of Boston, who we are as neighbors, and how we come together when we really need to. We also are here to foment neighbor to neighbor, get to know one another, and just have a beautiful day beautifying our own areas.
I think park cleanups and just cleaning up public spaces are a really classic way to give back to the community, and it's just really great to see the city organizing something like that. And I think it really does bring that sense of unity to the city, you know. And it's just, it's really great, and it also serves a great purpose of just getting trash up out of our parks and building community in the process.
The mayor is asking residents to engage in acts of kindness and spread unity during Patriots Day weekend. And this park cleanup is just one step in the grand scheme of creating that unity and keeping Boston strong.
One Boston is all about unity and really being there for each other. And today we're displaying that by cleaning up this park. But we all use this park in different ways, different days, different times. So it's all about doing good acts for each other today in unity, knowing that it's going to impact the rest of the community and all of us.
Spring is here, and so are the swan boats at the Public Garden. BNN spoke with residents and out-of-towners on opening day of the city's most treasured transport.
The swan boats are back, gently gliding through the lagoon at the Public Garden for yet another spring. The city welcomed an influx of visitors who came for the Boston Marathon, but stayed for the relaxing ride.
And it was so peaceful on the water and very smooth. The pedaling action was so smooth and it just, no jerking. It was just, it felt very relaxing and peaceful. Right in the middle of the city. It was a beautiful experience.
It feels amazing. We've had some pretty rainy weather and getting out today, taking him out, enjoying this water, the little swan boat, little piece of history. It's really beautiful and you feel refreshed, you really do.
I think the swim boats is the perfect opportunity to start spring. You can see the flowers, you can smell the flowers, see the water, also the ducks and the gooses. I think it's the perfect opportunity to meet new people and to experience the fresh air in the Public Garden.
For several riders, Robert Miklowski's iconic book, Make Way for Ducklings, wasn't far from their minds.
As I was out on the water, I was reflecting a bit and feeling a lot of gratitude that I am in Boston for this weekend with my children. This is my children's first visit to Boston, and as a mom, I read the book Make Way for Ducklings probably hundreds of times. And to be out on the water on a swan boat with them was a very special, relaxing moment. And I'm feeling a lot of nerves about running the marathon tomorrow. So taking a bit of a pause with them out on the water was appreciated.
It was a beautiful day out on the swan boats. We love taking the swan boats. It's our favorite part of coming to Boston. We read Make Way for Ducklings almost nightly. And based on today's ride, it is a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful season. It is idyllic.
For others, the return of the swan boats to another blossoming spring at the public garden signifies the time for renewed hope.
For us, we come to Boston for the Children's Hospital for surgery. And, you know, the surgery is a new beginning. And so we look at taking the swan boats and enjoying the spring as also a new beginning. And so it just keeps us focused on the positive. When there's a lot that we could be sad about, instead we think about the newness of spring and new beginnings.
The swans will spread their wings now through Labor Day for peace-seeking residents. No matter your reason for coming to the public garden, the swans are glad you're here.
This week in the city, JFK Library and Museum welcomed a new crop of naturalized citizens.
You have walked many paths to get to this place, but today, you are all Americans.
On Wednesday, 200 Boston residents received naturalization status at a ceremony hosted by U.S. District Court Federal Judge Julia Kobik and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. For many of these new citizens, the process of achieving naturalization has been a long journey.
It means everything. I've been on visas I've been in the U.S. for 16 years. And I've worked so hard. It's such a relief to be able to get the opportunities to continue working and contributing to the U.S. And it's such a beautiful country. I can't wait to explore it more.
From the heart, it's a big day for me. I came to this country when I was about 3.5 years old, and now I'm 31. It's been a very long time coming. I've basically lived here in the United States most of my life, and I know nothing else. So for me, it's one of the biggest days of my life. It's kind of like a huge weight off my shoulders and something I look very forward to, just being a citizen and being able to exercise my rights that I can after living in this country for so many years.
Residents waved their American flags with pride and gratitude, welcoming a new identity as naturalized citizens.
It means a lot to me to become a U.S. citizen today, especially after a long journey. I feel grateful for this country because it gives me a better life, a better chance at education, and a better chance for my family. I learn a lot throughout this journey. I have my education mainly in the U.S. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and that's why I'm here. I'm proud to become a U.S. citizen.
I barely can describe what I'm feeling right now, but it's something great that is finally getting to the end of where I can see myself being realizing, because it was something that I tried to become a citizen for a long time, and now it's going to be finally possible.
From uplifting their families to being able to vote, everyone had a reason to be joyful about the day.
My wife, my father, my mother, and my siblings, they will be able to come finally here. I applied for my wife 3 years ago, and she was not able to come yet. I feel like becoming a citizen will help me bring her over quickly. Also, I'll be traveling across overseas, everywhere, with like U.S. citizen will help me a lot.
I've been in the country since I was very young, but I've been fighting for my citizenship for about 4 years now. It's very important to me because the responsibility of becoming a citizen is huge. Now I get to vote, I get to contribute to government. I get to feel like I'm part of the country I've been in for so long.
All allegiance and fidelity.
All allegiance and fidelity.
24th prince.
24th prince.
Potentate.
Potentate.
State or sovereignty.
State or sovereignty.
Mayor Michelle Wu, the Mayor's Office for Immigrant Advancement, and Project Citizenship are hosting Citizenship Day next Saturday, April 27th at the Reggie Lewis Center in Roxbury. The annual event is an opportunity for people who are eligible for naturalization to get legal help at no cost with their citizenship application. Viewers interested in making an appointment can call 617-694-5949. Earth Day is April 22nd, and one Boston cosmetics store says they care about the earth all year long. BNN reporter Sophia Falbo visited the perfume shop to learn how they stay green.
All right, I'll send you there. Checking out.
It's called Olfactory NYC, but it's right here on Newberry Street.
It's sustainable. It's something you're smelling. No one's going to smell like you. And I thought that was a great thing to have.
The custom perfume store helps customers create vegan, paraben-free, and cruelty-free scents. Tykeem Owens says he likes working with natural scents.
That I know nothing is being harmed and that there's not like musk being used that's coming from actual animals. That affects me a lot because I don't think I'd want a scent that comes from like pain or things like that. So.
Professor Richard Stubbe says sustainable products are good for business.
The future is green. And if you want to be in front of the future and be a leader in your marketplace, I think in many cases, companies are well advised to make the move or start to make the move in becoming green.
Olfactory NYC has 9 gender-neutral scents for customers to choose from, with Riley being one of their most popular from today. A December Roundup study found that 78% of consumers value sustainability. Reporting for BNN, I'm Sophia Falbo.
After 65 years, Boston Symphony Youth Orchestras finally has a permanent home, and they invited the public to the ribbon cutting of their state-of-the-art facility. BNN producer Natalie Candler toured the new space and spoke with current musicians and BYSO leaders about their plans.
Since 1958, Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra has shared space with Boston University to train its young musicians. But in March, BYSO students and staff were excited to finally have a new state-of-the-art facility to call their own. Located just across the street from the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the new building is renovated from top to bottom. And it won't just be a place to practice and learn, but it'll be a central hub, building strong community bonds for these young musicians.
I think, you know, we hear the word about belonging, like having a place for you to feel that you belong there. And I think this is going to provide that exact feeling. Not only that, we don't have to hop from place to place. We have our own space where kids can do lessons. We can have performances. And it's going to feel like home in a way. So that's super exciting and inspiring.
Over the course of my 2 years here at BYS, I've met so many great people in both the wind section, the string section, and also the teachers, I think. Fed and Mark Miller, the conductor of rep, and every single instructor in every sectional has been so insightful in different ways, and I think they contribute so much to my development, not only as a musician, but as a person.
I'm really excited just for all the opportunities to be here, and it's gonna foster such a great sense of, there's such a great sense of community here already, and all of us being together under one roof is really only going to heighten that and make it so much more amazing.
The journey to opening its doors was a long collaborative project, but BYSO CEO and President Catherine Weiskel and BYSO Music Director Federico Cortese were determined to create an oasis for young musicians in Boston.
The short answer is 20 years. 20 years of work, first realizing that that was a real priority, and then to make it possible. And we were a very small organization, so we had to grow as an organization. We had to grow our educational programs, our performance programs, our outreach programs, until it became apparent to a larger community that our work was indispensable and deserved a home. And then we found this fantastic place.
Well, we've never had a home of our own place to grow and bring more children into our program. And we've been around for 66 years, and this is the first time that we really have a place that is not only our home in principle, but our home in our heart.
Although the facility isn't officially open, Mayor Michelle Wu and the public toured the premises, getting a sneak peek of the massive auditorium, group rehearsal rooms with acoustic ceilings, and private practice rooms with quite the view.
It's definitely these new practice rooms, I think. For me, music brings a lot of great motivation, and it requires a lot of motivation as well. And I think here, looking outside here, I mean, there's no better place than in the heart of Boston to be able to just practice your instrument, looking out and see all these hardworking people, everyone chasing their dreams out here. So
I'm so excited about these practice rooms. This is just one of the most beautiful views in the building. I'm also excited just to have a space where we can all get together before and after rehearsals. We finally have a meeting space for snacks and everything, and it's just a great opportunity to get together with a bunch of other kids that are here for the same reason.
I really love, I look forward to the rehearsals every Sunday. I've been able to meet so many incredible people here who all, share my passion for music and want to make music. And, it's just incredible to be part of something so much larger than yourself and just create such incredible music.
The new building opens its doors on May 10th. And from there, the possibilities are endless.
About 25% of the children in our program go on to be professional musicians or work in music in some way. Many of them, we have 10 in the Boston Symphony alone, and worldwide they're in all kinds of professional orchestras. And whether you're a professional musician or you're going to be a mathematician, it's the same mental rigor and the emotional release that you can have from a place like this is really quite profound.
This freedom allows them to expand Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra beyond their imaginations and create new programs that will keep BYSO's position as one of the top youth symphony orchestras in the nation.
You know, we go from having a space available 8 hours once a week to having a space available to us pretty much the whole day, every day, 7 days a week. So the potential is enormous. And from more students, more lessons, a variety of groups, chamber music groups, types of music that we haven't explored, younger children. I mean, it's endless. We need to do... We need to be calm and do one step at a time. You don't want to put too much stuff right at the beginning, but certainly the potential are immense.
Since April 2011, Emily Shea has served as Commissioner of the Age Strong Commission, formerly the Commission of Affairs of the Elderly. The commission serves as Boston area's agency on aging and Boston's Council on Aging, and sets the city's direction for successful aging in Boston. Shea joined us in studio to discuss the work of the organization and the importance of taking care of Boston seniors. Here's our conversation.
How does the organization support and advocate for the well-being of seniors in the Boston community?
Sure. So we do a lot of different things at the Age Strong Commission, which is a department at the City of Boston. So one of the things that we're responsible for is really assessing the needs of older adults in the City of Boston, doing a lot of planning work, and then making sure that we have the services that our older residents need in the city. And we do this both by providing services ourselves and by funding a whole network of partners that work with us as Boston's Aging Services Network.
Amazing. And what are some of the key programs and services offered by the commission to enhance the quality of life for our seniors?
Sure. I love talking about this, right, because we want people to be able to access our services. So we do a lot of constituent services, so making sure that people can get access to the benefits and the programs and the services that they need, really making sure to connect people up. I think a lot of times people don't know that there are programs and services for older adults. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that people call us so that we can get them connected up to what's out there for them. We do a lot of events and programs throughout the city, so ongoing programming and big fun events that people can come to. We run a transportation organization, so part of what we do are medical rides for older adults and help with grocery shopping. We also do volunteer programs. So if you're getting older in the city and you want to become an AmeriCorps seniors volunteer, you can get connected with us and we'll help you get connected to something really impactful to do. We know people have so much wisdom and experience, and we want them to be able to use that to make Boston an even better place to live.
I so agree. Like, our elders are such a resource for us. Can you speak to some of the recent initiatives and projects that AgeStrong Commission has undertaken to address some of the needs of our seniors?
Sure. So one of the things that we're really focused on is social connection. We know that social isolation has the same health impact as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which is why we put a lot of effort into making sure that people can get connected. We're working on a plan to make sure that there's programming for everybody across the city and that people can engage in other ways. And we're working on funding a whole bunch of partners to do social programming and social engagement across the city. We're also focused on economic security, making sure that our older adults have enough money to be able to live and age with dignity in our city, that they can afford kind of the basic things that we all need to pay for, right? Heat for their homes, food for their tables, medications if they take those. So a lot of what we do are work on benefits, and there's actually a new one I wanted to mention today. There's something called the Medicare Savings Programs that our Mass Senior Action Council partners did a lot of advocacy work around. There's now no asset limit for the Medicare Savings Programs, so we're helping a lot of people access that. What that's going to do is help them be able to afford their health insurance and their prescriptions.
That's great. And there's quite a lot of work that AgeStrong Commission does. Can you talk about some of the organizations and agencies that you collaborate with to provide these services?
Sure. We're really focused on making sure there's an age and dementia-friendly Boston for people to live and age in. And one of the things that's important about that is that it's not just, you know, the programs and services that someone gets in their home that's important, but also about how people live and age in community. How do people access transportation and housing and things to do in the community? So we spend a lot of time working across different city departments and with our community partners to make sure that as older adults live and do all the things they need to do in the community, that that we're providing the support for them to be able to do that. That when we're thinking about planning anything at the city, when we're thinking about planning our streets and sidewalks or planning our buildings or planning our parks, that we're taking our older residents' needs into consideration.
And earlier, as we were talking, you mentioned the fact that you've been in this role for 13 years now. Yeah. Can you tell us what you've learned over the years about this work and what keeps you working with our seniors?
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much over that. I feel like I'm learning every day in this role. But one of the reasons that I love this role is because of Boston's older adults. I get to talk to folks all the time. I get to hear what they love about the city, what could make things better for them. And so by hearing that, then we're able to kind of grow and adjust and change and advocate on behalf of our older residents. So that's really why I love this job. I also have an amazing, committed team at the commission and fantastic community partners. And of course, I get to work under the Human Services Cabinet and our chief, Jose Masso, and for Mayor Michelle Wu. So I always think of it like kind of like all different pieces to a puzzle, right? And we need all of us working together to make sure that our communities work for the people that live in them.
And how can our viewers learn more about AgeStrong Commission and get involved?
Great. Thanks for asking that. I think the easiest way for people to get connected to us is just by calling 311, and they can get connected directly to the AgeStrong Commission for any type of assistance that they need. They also can call our direct line at 617-635-4366 or our website, which is boston.gov/AgeStrong.
Thanks for tuning in, Boston. As a reminder, you can stream or watch the news on demand at bnnmedia.org. Each episode will be rebroadcast at 9:30 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Xfinity Channel 9, Astound Channel 15, and Fios Channel 2161. And make sure to check out our BNN HD Xfinity Channel 1072. You can also listen to us on the radio Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. and Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m. And now you can watch BNN News on the go with the Cablecast app. For BNN News, I'm Faith Mafadon. I'll see you next week.